This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning. You're tuned into The Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and with me in studio is Noelle Lim. In conjunction with International Women's Day, today on The Grill, we're taking a look at the progress that has been made, policies that are needed, and concerns going forward in the movement to get more women into the workforce and staying in the workforce. That being the more important issue there, as we discussed with Dato' Hamida before this. Now, on the line to explore this topic with us, we have Yuren Chong, Advocacy Director with the Women's Aid Organization, and to really explore what they've been doing over the last few years. So, welcome to the show, Ren. Could you just get us walk us through what policies have been your focus at WAO over the last 2 years?
Yeah, thanks, Roshan. Hi, Noel. I think before we get into that, we really need to make it absolutely clear just how crucial this is, just how crucial it is to get women equal opportunities in the workforce. And I think there's two main reasons. The first is, of course, the economic reason. If we know that substantial numbers of women are not in the workforce, 55% labor force participation compared to 80% for men. If we know that for women who are already in the workforce, they're not getting the positions that match their qualities, they're being judged for different reasons other than their quality, or they may be segregated into different sectors. If we know all these are happening, then that means our economy is not acting in an efficient, optimal way. So there's an economic loss here, and people at the World Bank have done studies to show that, you know, if we remove all economic barriers to women in Malaysia specifically, we could be increasing our average national income by 26%. So that's like on average 9,000 ringgit for every single person each year. So there's the economic argument, and of course, there's the moral argument. If we want to live in a society that is fair for all, that guarantees equality and non-discrimination, and our labor force is not providing such opportunities, then we fail in the aspiration. So it's absolutely clear, I think, to get it, for us to articulate how important it is, actually. Okay, so to your question on what has been going on. So I think this is a global issue. Many countries are taking a lot of initiatives to improve the situation of women in the workforce, and so has Malaysia. And I think we can really break it down into three broad categories of initiatives. The first category is on safety. So if we do not have a safe work environment, if we don't have safe educational settings, safe public spaces, then it's going to be much more difficult for women to be productive in the workforce. So what are some ways we can, what are some measures that have been taken or explored to try and improve safety for women specifically in the workforce and in other places? Well, one example is on the issue of sexual harassment. YouGov did a survey in Malaysia in July last year, and the survey suggested that 36% of Malaysian women had faced some form of sexual harassment. 36%, that's high. And by the way, it also showed that men, about 16% of men also experienced sexual harassment. So we know it's a problem. We know it's a problem that happens at work, it happens at schools, universities, and other places. So one policy initiative that was taken by under the PH government was to introduce a Sexual Harassment Act. Now, this Sexual Harassment Act would do two main things. First, it would ensure that any organization, so a school, a university, a workplace, would have proper sexual harassment policies. So if a case happens, they would investigate it. They would take preventative measures to address sexual harassment in their institution. And secondly, the bill would create an oversight mechanism in the form of a tribunal that would provide monitoring of these practices, sexual harassment practices in schools, universities, and so on. So, of course, public policy, these policies would not end sexual harassment, but it would do a lot to provide people that redress mechanism. It would do a lot to help prevent sexual harassment. So this is something that has been working, that the previous government has been working on. In fact, it's reached a stage where there is a draft bill which has been reviewed by various government agencies, and it was on its way to actually be tabled as a law. And this has been derailed. So that's one example of safety. Now, the second broad category that of policies that has been working, has the government and NGOs and others have been working on, is on the area of non-discrimination. So if you're a woman and you go and work, you're judged for reasons other than equality. You're judged because you're a young mother. You're judged because you're a young woman who might get married and become a young mother. You're judged because you might get pregnant. You're judged because you wear or you don't wear a tudung. So if you are judged by all these criteria that are not to do with your quality and your skills and track record, then that means you're not going to be placed in a job that is optimal to your skills and experiences. It means that you're not getting a fair shot. So again, this is a huge problem, but public policies can play a role to address it. And one thing that the PH government was pushing for, and this is another thing that is already, you know, it's something that's ready to become a law that has been developed, is non-discrimination standards in employment laws.
All right, Ren, we're going into a few messages right now. We'll be back in a little bit. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and with me in studio is Noel Lim. On the line, we have Yuren Chung, Advocacy Director of the Women's Aid Organization. And we're talking today, in conjunction with International Women's Day, about policies and progress that needs to be made in order to get more women to stay in the workforce. Welcome back to the show, Ren. So we were talking earlier about the policies that were already, that the progress that has been made over the last 2 years. Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were bills that were supposed to be tabled in the next parliament sitting, which has been delayed to May. What were these bills that what were these bills, and what are your concerns now?
Yeah, there were a number. Yeah, absolutely right. There were a number of initiatives that were scheduled to be tabled. I had mentioned two. One being the sexual harassment bill, which would address harassment and safety issues at work, which is very crucial for women's participation and women's quality of work. The second I had mentioned was on amendments to the Employment Act that prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender, race, religion, and other factors against employees and in contracts. And a third area that I want to really highlight is on family. So family life. So we know that for women to participate equally in the workforce, we need to actually rebalance the family relationships and expectations of both on mothers and on fathers. So that it's not just mothers who are expected to take the all or the majority of childcare responsibilities. So what kind of policies were pending? Well, one actually has already been in the works, which is improving, increasing financing and incentive for childcare. So that was actually approved in two previous budgets already. So that's really positive and something that a lot of other countries also are looking at. But I want to really highlight on one particular reform that is pending, that is paternity leave. So we know we have maternity leave in Malaysia, and that standard is set to be increased from 60 to 90 days. But we do not yet have paternity leave. So what does this tell us? This tells us, number one, it's difficult for fathers to actually play a role in that crucial stage of childbirth. And number two, it tells us something of the expectations we have for mothers and fathers. So it's expected that mothers would take most of childcare responsibilities. So the previous government under the Ministry of Human Resources had actually pledged to bring forward at least 3 days for paternity leave, but perhaps 7 days. The Minister of Human Resources at the time, YB Kulasagaran, was going to propose a 7-day paternity leave. So that would bring in line paternity leave in the private sector to be as on par with the paternity leave given to government sector. So if you're a government worker, you get 7 days. But if you're private sector, it depends on your company. So if we are able to get 7 days of paternity leave, which we think is a good reasonable amount as a starting point, we'd be sending the signal first that, you know, we want fathers, we want men to take responsibility. And I think fathers these days, and I speak as one myself, are actually very keen to play a bigger role in their child's life. So that's number one. Number two, we're actually helping families to to stick together and get through of this very crucial period of their family. So there are three areas where policy reforms are pending and important. One is safety in the workplace and public spaces. Second is non-discrimination. And third is policies relating to family. And all these things, and I just named a few, there are many more examples. And all these laws are already at the 95% stage. They've already been drafted. They're just waiting to be finalized by cabinet and table. So that's where we were before 2 weeks ago.
So let's say these bills will get pushed into a parliament sitting. How receptive are MPs in general? Do you foresee?
Yeah. So I think as a matter of subject matter, these things are very are more technical in nature, and they're not politically aligned to any particular ideology or party. So, for example, the Sexual Harassment Act, that was something that both major coalitions included in the manifesto in the previous general elections. If we look at the Employment Act amendments where it comes to discrimination, this is something that has been in the works for a few years before the general election. So it's a continuation between two governments. And if we look at paternity leave, that is actually something new, but it's something that has received support from policymakers from either side of the aisle. So these things are technically not political, not ideological, and they're really in the interest of nation building and inclusivity.
So even say these bills, namely the workplace discrimination and sexual harassment, all that is pushed through. What other issues do you foresee will continue to persist in, trying to just provide this safe environment for women? I believe there may be some cultural, some mindset issues that we may still need to address.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Laws and policies are only one lever that we can use to address the problem of women of getting more women in the workforce. But really, it's an important first step. So once we have a proper legal framework in which to operate, that means we have rules. So if any particular individual or body organization is not complying with the rules, there is some avenue to actually try and seek redress and improvement. The first step is not everything, but it's having these strong and good laws is the first step we should take to address this problem.
So, Ren, if we've got some support from both sides, from MPs, how important is it to have a Minister of Women's Affairs? What role does the ministry play in getting these bills through?
The two roles. The first, of course, is a technical role. So the Ministry of Women and a few other agencies have the expertise needed to actually push this forward. So the ministers would provide leadership to coordinate this response. And the second is really on political will. So if we look at something like sexual harassment bill, this is something that people are not against, but it's we've seen it be on the back burner before, in the sense that it's recognized as important, but no one sees it as as urgent as it should be. So a strong and proactive minister would provide that political will to ensure that these reforms are brought as soon as possible.
So Malaysia is a signatory of CEDAW, which is the UN Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Now, in 2018, I understand Malaysia received a poor review, especially in relation to the dual legal system, Sharia and conventional, which was viewed as being discriminatory against women, particularly women under Sharia law. So are you advocating for harmonisation? This might be politically tricky.
Yeah, I think what the CEDAW committee is saying is that because there are various different systems in Malaysia, and in this particular one, including division of certain jurisdictions between Sharia law and civil family law, this creates some kind of friction and inconsistencies, and in some cases, it can lead to injustices for certain people. So, an example of this would, of course, be the story of Indira Gandhi and how the legal system was used for one party to gain the upper hand in terms of child custody and a divorce. So, that is really what the CEDAW committee is zooming in on: how these inconsistencies can lead to injustices in certain cases and confusion. So what the I'm not sure exactly what the previous government was doing, but there were some efforts that were being announced in the news on in terms of efforts to try and harmonize, not between the two systems necessarily, but to ensure that Sharia systems between different states are similar. And that would actually go a long way to reduce the confusion in our legal system.
So CEDAW is also pushing for a Gender Equality Act to eliminate all forms of discrimination against women. Do you foresee this is practical in Malaysia?
Yeah. So this is another bill that was an initiative that actually had been worked on by the Pakatan Harapan government under Dr. Wan Aziza and Hannah Yeo. And the idea here is it relates to women workforce because it would actually cover all spheres of life. So it is something that's practical in Malaysia. It's based on CEDAW, the convention that you had raised, which Malaysia has already ratified. So if we look at things like positive duty, what are duties of a government to not only ensure laws are non-discriminatory, which is one important thing that government needs to do, the government can also take measures like proactively looking for areas where women are left behind and then institute policies and measures to try and uplift and equalize the situation. So there are many areas that we need to look at. The bill, again, is something that the previous government had been working on. And so it's hard to say what the status of the bill is. But I think it's crucial for us to look actually at the situation of women and men in the country and to note why this kind of thing, this kind of bill is so important. You know, if we look at any gender gap index in the world, we'll see that Malaysia is actually quite low. We rank really low in terms of gender equality, be it women in politics, women in economics, women family, and so on. The most prominent index is the World Economic Forum Global Gender Gap Index, and Malaysia has consistently ranked at about 100th place out of 150 countries. So we're in the bottom third of countries in the whole world, bottom third when it comes to gender equality. So we need to have, of course, again, policy, laws and policies are not the end all be all, but they're an important first step for us to create rules to achieve our objectives.
So, Ren, let's talk about women in politics for a little bit. I recently saw I think this is a campaign by Undi 18. It's called the 111 Initiative, basically implying that although women represent 50% of the Malaysian population, only 15% of parliament is are women. So how important is it to get women representation in not just businesses and in government, but also in parliament representation?
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the numbers again. 50% are women. Parliament, less than 15% are women, as you mentioned. Even the Senate, less than 15% are women. And in Cabinet, less than 20%, but it's 17 or 18%, depending on how you count it, are women. So this is so low. We're not even at 30%. This number is so low. So why is this important? I think we can really look at four reasons why it's important for us to achieve a higher representation or even equal representation between women and men in politics. So the first is on quality. So people like to talk about, oh, we should follow merit. We should follow merit. And of course, that's true. But if we look at the current crop of people, can we really say that, okay, if you have only 15% women there, that is truly the best? I mean, you're basically sidelining a huge percentage of the population. So we're not actually choosing from the best of the best. So that's the first point, quality. So if we remove biases and barriers, then we're enabling the better quality people to actually occupy those positions. The second reason why equal representation is important is because of diversity. And it's not just diversity for the sake of diversity, but it's that the idea that varied perspectives actually facilitates decision-making. People from different backgrounds would have a perspective, a view, an experience that others do not have. And that is actually important in the process of shaping our country in the direction that best suits all.
Thank you, Yuren, for joining us on the line here. Yuren Chong is the Advocacy Director at the Women's Aid Organization. And on that note, we've come to the end of the Breakfast Grill. You can always let us know what you think over on BFM, on Twitter at BFM Radio. Right now, we're going into a few messages and then the 8:30 News Bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.